I've come this morning to share a message called Dream Again. Dream Again. It was 11 years ago that God birthed a dream in my family's heart. Actually, it was just me at that time. And it echoed into my family now. And we are on a mission to do something that's way bigger than ourselves. And I'm here not just to tell you about my story. We're going to do some of that today. But my challenge to you is dream again. I believe God is putting dreams in our hearts. He's given us purpose. He's given us life. And it's not just to get by day. He wants to do something divine in all of our lives. And it's to help change other people's lives. So my question that the thing that I want to really present to you this morning is, let God birth a dream in you. Or let God restore an old dream and let God do his work in you and through you. Okay? Let me pray real fast because I'm not very good alone, and we're going to dive right into our story and the message for you this morning. Father, I thank you so much for Claremore Assembly of God. God, I thank you for a place, God, that helped transform my life. God, as we go many places and do many things, I believe, Father, that this church has better days yet ahead. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you come in this place. God, touch lives. God, draw them to yourself, and I pray blessings, God, multiplied back on this church because of what you have set this church up to do for me. God, I know, God, you have great things ahead. Bless your word, and God, let us receive it with joy in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, it was almost 11 years ago in 2004. I was in my first or second year of a full-time ministry in the St. Louis area. And we went to a district council. And for you guys that don't know what a district council is, it's a time where a bunch of pastors get together. And basically, they have these business meetings. And I'm a 23-year-old youth pastor at the time. And I can tell you, I hated those meetings. I hated district council because you got bored to death. I was a young kid, you know, and I'm so old now. But I remember at those meetings, I hated them because I'm like, oh, my word, we're talking about that issue again. But we had two services. They were usually one in the day and one at night. And I went to those, and the worship was exciting, and there was always different types of speakers. And I'll never forget, on the afternoon session, there was this speaker who was a church planner. And he came in, and he started sharing his vision. And he starts talking about the needs for church planning. And I remember, I'm so intrigued because getting saved at 15 years old, I remember being called into ministry about 6-7 months later. And from that point in my life, I knew God was calling me to do something significant. I didn't want to just be the cookie cutter pastor or missionary. I wanted to change the world. I truly did. And young people, don't let anybody tell you anything different. And I remember just saying, God, I want to do something great. And I'm hearing this guy, I'm connecting with what he's doing, and I just responded. I'm not an emotional person. I get a lot of grief at home with the wife sometimes because of that, and any fellas know what I'm talking about? You're not brave enough to speak up. Now, I remember I'm responding, just going to this altar, and I'm kneeling down, and I'm saying, God, whatever you want to do in me, I'll just do it. God, whatever. And I'm totally intrigued with what this guy is speaking, and just something in my heart is connecting with what he's speaking. And I remember just being on my knees and just raising my hands, God, whatever you want. And it was in those moments I felt the Holy Spirit tell me, that's exactly what I want you to do. I want you to plant a church that will plant other churches. And I'm 23 years old. I'm a zealous youth pastor. I'm ready to take on all the teenagers of our community. And I didn't know what to do with all that. I have this moment with God that's full of sneers. And if you don't know what that is, it's so much snot and tears, you don't know the difference. And I'm sitting there and I'm saying, God, whatever you want to do, I'll do it. And he speaks that and I'm like, okay. And I go back to my lead pastor and I tell him, hey, this is what God told me. And I know that's exactly what I'm supposed to do. And he says, hang on to it and be faithful with what he's called you to do right now. And for the past 12 years, I spent that in student ministry. And I can tell you, in the fall of 2013, something changed. I want to introduce something to you called the doldrums. The doldrums. And we got a slide. There it is. And what it is, it's the intertropical convergence zone. It's the place right by the equator. It's just a few degrees north and a few degrees south of what the equator is. And what it is, it's an area where on the northern hemisphere, you got the trades winds that blow one way, and then on the southern the same, but there's a gap just a few degrees where there's no wind at all. Now, the doldrums is one of the scariest places back in the day for ships to land, because everybody knew you would rather endure a hard storm than to land in the doldrums, because if you got in the doldrums before there was motorized boats, you would get stuck there. And what would happen is, because there's no wind, not even a breath of wind, sailors would die. And because of that stagnant, lifeless place, they would get stuck and there would be no wind to take their sails to where they need to be. So they would get stuck and they would die. I can tell you in 2013, in that fall, I experienced the doldrums in my life. You see, it looked great on the outside. It had a thriving ministry. We built a home a few years before that. I had the perfect look and family. Always had a smile when I came to church. And God was even fruitful in our ministry. As a matter of fact, we just had one of the most successful outreaches that we ever had in our youth ministry, where over 95 students dedicated their life to Jesus on a single night. And I remember having that feeling even 2 weeks later, when I should still be on this high, thinking, what's wrong with me, God? And I started even praying, God, is it something I'm doing? Am I doing something wrong? Am I missing something? Because I'm praying, I'm reading your word, what's going on? And it got so serious that I start telling my wife about it, and she's like, we need to pray, we need to fast. And we started praying and seriously fasting, and for some of you, even my parents are like, what happened to you? And we've been fasting a lot, I'm kind of withering away a little bit. And I know it was then that God started reminding me of this dream. And he starts stirring in our hearts about that call of planting a church. And I can tell you right now, I didn't really want to hear that, because everything was safe and secure. And I remember as I started feeling that, I told my lead pastor, we have a very, very good relationship. And he starts like affirming me, and he goes, hey, when you came here 7 years ago, you told me about this dream. And here I'm thinking, you know, because usually he's like hanging on, don't leave me. And he's affirming me about these things. And I'm like, okay, God, you really must be in this. Then I start praying. I'm like, okay, God, I'll just go lead a church somewhere. I'll just, you know, let me do that thing. I don't have the experience like a Pastor Dave yet, you know, with all generations. And I'm thinking, maybe I'll just go that route. And actually, a phone call was given where there was a church of 300, beautiful facilities paid off. They just need a young guy to lead families. And I'm like, it started to intrigue me. And the Lord spoke to me and it reminded me again, I've called you to plant a church. Now, for many of you, I know you don't know what that means. It means going into a city where there is a lack of church and starting from zero people. Actually, five. My family will start it. And I remember thinking, okay, God, I have a great ministry. I have a great home to live in. I have everything that I need here. And I thought, if I leave this to go plant a church, there is no security. And I'm just like, God, I'm kind of wrestling with God in my prayers. And God spoke these two promises to me. He said, Phil, if you will move out of faith and trust me, something really good is going to happen. But greatness will come through your kids. Because I'm telling God, what about my kids? Alicia and I, we can sacrifice things. We can do this. But what about my three kids? And he spoke clearly and said, out of them, greatness will come if you're faithful. And I remember, okay, God, okay. And then he speaks again. And he says, if you move out of faith, I will give your kids that same faith for their lifetime. I'm like, okay, I'm worried about financial and materialistic things. And here God's saying, hey, I'll give you the greatest reward that you could ever have. So we're starting this journey. But it came with a dream. And today, my urge, my desire to you is let God birth a dream inside of you. One that you won't let go of. And one that will help change others' lives. Okay? So if you got your Bibles, turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah. You see, there was this guy named Elvis. I don't know if anybody knows of the king of rock and roll around here. But Back in that day, he looked like he had everything together. He looked like he had the whole world. Everybody loved him. He was the king before LeBron James, okay? And he came in and he would do these incredible shows. You know, he had the chops. He had the cool outfits. But everybody knows his story. He got stuck in the doldrums, started popping pills, and ended his life because he couldn't get out of this stagnant place that he was in. And for many of us, we drift to this place called the doldrums, not wanting to get there. Kids come into life and then, you know, other circumstances, a lost job or something, and then you find yourself wondering, why in the world am I even alive? Let me tell you that God wants to give you a dream because you were created with purpose. God wants to give you a dream because you are created with purpose. It says this in Jeremiah chapter 1. For the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you. See, Jeremiah was 17 to 22 years old at this time. And the word of the Lord comes to him and says, hey, Jeremiah, I knew you before you even knew that you were alive. I knew everything about you, and I set you apart, and I appointed you to be a prophet of my nation. Now listen, we aren't appointed to be prophets necessarily, but before God, before you even knew anybody, God knew you. Before you were even a thought in your mom or dad's mind, he knew exactly who you were going to be. He knew what you were going to look like. I know that's scary for some of you. And he knew your personality, he knew your family backgrounds, he knew how you were going to be shaped because he had a purpose and plan in mind. God knows you. And what's scary is God even knows your great-great-grandchildren to come. God created us with a purpose. Now, check this out. I love how David puts this. He says it in Psalm 139, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. And I love this part. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He created you with a purpose in mind. Now, since we know that we were all uniquely designed and we have different backgrounds, I want to show you something. There are two ways for you to discover your purpose in life. Okay, the first way is by speculation. That's when you check out yourself and you may even take tests. I don't know if you do this at the church. You can do these shape profile tests and find out your spiritual gifts and your passions and what your heart is, all these different things. And that's good. You know, trying to speculate what you think God wants you to do, that's good. Because you should be striving to do whatever God wants you to do. But the second way that you can find out your purpose in life is through revelation. That's when God speaks into you, this is what I want you to do with your life. You don't try to measure yourself up. You just say, okay, God, whatever you want. I believe that's how you made me, and I will do your plan. Now, I want to show you something. I was at my daughter's basketball game about a month and a half ago. You can just throw it. And it's out of air a little bit. It's not the fella gate or whatever that is. And I want to tell you something. I was at this basketball game, and I'm watching my daughter play, and there's two full courts inside of this one gymnasium. And it was dangerous right away when half or that one full court, nobody was on it. There's always two games at the same time. But my two boys, my son Cole, who's six, and my other son is 2.5, and they run over there because they see balls. They start, you know, my older son's shooting hoops. My other son is grabbing the ball, and I love watching them. I wanted to watch my daughter, so I'm watching at a distance. And I see my son. He says, ball, 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 ball. And he's running over there. He grabs the ball. And he starts playing with it. First thing I see is he's just launching it. He's just throwing it. He don't even know where he's throwing it. So he's trying to play dodgeball. And then I see him trying to play kickball. He just takes it on the ground. He starts kicking it. And then I see him trying to throw it at his brother, of course. And he's trying to figure out what to do. He knows it's a ball, but he doesn't know the revelation of its specific purpose. And then I see my older son actually hit him with the ball. He comes over crying, and he's, "Dad, Daddy, Daddy." And I grab him like, "What's wrong?" And he just hands me the ball. And I'm like, "Tanner, don't you know this is a basketball?" So I take him over there, and I start picking him up. You know, the hoops are a little bit lower. And he starts dunking it, and he's like, "Again, Daddy, again, again." Because this is what happens. When you get revelation of the specific purpose of the creation, there's a fulfillment when you know you're doing exactly what you were purposed to do in life. When my son discovered that, there brought joy to him. And you know what? It brings joy to the Father when you discover the purpose of your existence. Young people, don't forget that. Now, I want you guys to understand, you were created with a specific purpose in mind, and God wants to reveal that plan in your life because there's so many benefits of when you have that in your life that it just impacts you. Let me show you what it does. The first benefit of having a dream is this: it gives meaning to your life. It gives meaning to your life. You see, without meaning in life, there's no significance and there's no hope. You're stuck in the doldrums. You're just living day by day, just trying to get through each day. It gives meaning to life. I love what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes. He says, "Meaningless, meaningless. Everything's meaningless." And then he goes on to talk about all the list of things, and he talks about how it's a chasing after the wind. And this is what happens in life. When you don't know your purpose, when you don't know why you're on this planet, you start chasing dreams that God didn't have for you. And then you start waking up feeling depressed because you got no money, even though you're trying to impress people that you don't even like. And then you find yourself in a place where you're just completely unfulfilled because there's no meaning behind it. You see, God wants to give your life meaning. And also, he wants to simplify your life. He wants your life to be simplified. And let me show you, that's the second benefit. If your life is simplified, it defines what you do and what you don't do. It means you don't have to waste your life. And it goes under this third thing, it focuses your life. The third benefit, it gives you focus. It gives you reason to wake up, but more importantly, it keeps you from running in circles over and over and over, chasing after the wind. The fourth thing it does is it motivates you. The fourth benefit is it motivates your life. There's nothing better than when you wake up and there is a dying passion inside of you. We're ready to live this day and go conquer the world, do something great. It doesn't matter what it is if it's God's dream for your life. You see, I don't know about you guys, but I want these benefits in my life. I want to wake up motivated. I want to wake up knowing exactly what I'm supposed to do. But many times we compromise these things, and God says, "I got so much better for you. I got a great plan for your life. Stop chasing after the wind and let that dream that I have for you be birthed. Or let it be reignited." Now, I want to give you guys something that it's a little bit off here, but it's something really important to know. There's always pain that comes with the promise. If God is speaking to you to do something, there's always going to be pain. There's always going to be some suffering. It's just something that happens. Now, let me tell you, it's a lot like marriage. You go into marriage, and I found my dream girl, Alicia, 11 years ago, and it's exciting, and I just remember how exciting, because you get these dreams of, "Oh, that's going to be my baby's mama, that's going to be the woman that I die and grow old with," and you got all these dreams and aspirations of what it's going to be like. But I want to tell you, everybody knows about the three rings of marriage, right? No? Okay, first you got the engagement ring. That's when you're ready to commit yourself. Then there's the wedding ring. That's when you actually make the vow and say, "Okay, I'm all in." And then shortly after that, you discover the third ring. It's a lot of suffering, okay? And I know, Ashley, you're getting married here soon. Just know it comes with the package. Now, I'm sorry. But through that, the only way you get through that is you keep your eyes on the promise of what could be. You go through the suffering and the hard times because you keep your eyes fixed on the author and perfecter of your faith. You follow his leading, and you keep your eyes on what could be and not just on circumstances. Let me tell you something right now. This is hard. I'm living in a basement of a friend with three kids and a wife right now. We just gave up an incredible home that we had to sell as we moved. I've been unemployed for just over a month right now, but my eyes are on Jesus. And let me tell you something. There's 270,000 people in Madison County where I'm going, and over half of them have no connection to God at all because they have no church affiliation at all. 77% of them don't even attend an evangelical church, okay? I'm in the metro east of St. Louis, okay? It's not the Bible Belt. The district of the Assemblies of God there have been praying for years and years that somebody would come and start a church there. And it's so good to know that I get to be that answer. But yet, through the hard suffering and the hard times, you need to always remember, keep your eyes fixed on the promise of what God speaks into your life. Now, not only does God have awesome plans, it's a lot like following his lead because we keep our eyes fixed on him. And when you follow the leader, you got to give up control. You have to simply obey, and you keep following. Because I see it's just like this. Come here, young man. I don't even know your name. Come on up here real fast. What's your name real fast? Nathan? Peyton. All right, give it up for Peyton, everybody. All right, stay right there. Now listen, if I'm supposed to be Jesus, okay, and you're supposed to follow me because God has a plan and he's saying, hey, come follow me. The reality is this, you just keep your eyes on me and follow. But then I know there's going to be girls and there's going to be all these other things that try to speak to you. And God just says, come follow me. But if you're looking over there and over there and you're not following, you're going to be all over the place trying to figure this out. And God's just saying, give up control. Obey my voice and just keep following me. Keep staying fixed on me. And when you do that, it's real easy to come to me. Okay? And it's as simple as that. Remember that. That's for you. And that's what God is speaking. That's what God wants to do. You know, Alicia and I live by this philosophy. We pray knowing everything depends on God, but we know God is depending on us by the way we work. You see, we pray knowing everything depends on God, but we work knowing God is depending on us. You see, it's the faith in action principle. I could look at that community. I could listen to God and say, oh, God, you can change the world. But if I don't have the faith and the action, you see, I believe that's why I'm praying. But if I don't move, that means I don't have faith. So he requires me to work. That means you take movement. There's action after you say, I believe. And that's exactly what we're doing. And I believe when God gives you a dream, you have to do the same thing. You have to pray knowing everything depends on God. And then you work knowing he's dependent on you. Now, let me show you this, because this is a question I'm asked all the time, and we'll wrap up here. The question is this, is it my dream or is it God's dream for me? If God starts speaking to you about something, you always got to test it. Let me show you four questions to test your faith. Four things to test if it's God's dream or your dream. The first is this, is it beyond your ability? Is it beyond your ability? If you feel like God is saying something to you, but you don't need God in the equation, I don't know if that's God speaking to you about the big dream that he wants to do. Now, it could be. It could be a simple act of faith that leads you to something greater. But I believe that there's something that says, hey, you have to be fully dependent on me. And I think of people like Gideon. You know, when the angel shows up to Gideon and says, mighty man of valor. Gideon's like, who, me? Really? You want me to lead all these people? Really? Because he knew he couldn't do it alone. And then you think about Moses. Oh, Moses tried to talk God out of it how many times? Because he knew he couldn't do it. Esther. The list goes on and on. The question you got to ask, is it beyond your ability? The second is this. Is the dream for your glory or his glory? Who is the dream really for? I have a man at my last church that I was good friends with. His name's Doug. And Doug has this dream to be a millionaire. And I said, me too, Doug. But he really does. And I'm like, okay, Doug, why do you have this dream? And here's the thing about Doug. He drives a car that you would never picture him in. He lives in a house that is small. And his whole motive to be a millionaire is to bless missionaries all around the world. That is his goal in life and his wife as well. And I said, okay, that's your dream. And it makes sense because it's not for his glory, it's for God's. Now, the third thing is this. You got to ask and test your dream by this question. Is it for man's applause or God's approval? Sometimes God will put a clear dream in our hearts, but man tries to tweak it. I can't tell you the number of times people I've told people about the dream. When I resigned in January, everybody's like, what is going on, Phil? You're crazy. And if I would listen to people and try to live for their approval, I'd be missing out on what God wants. And the same thing will happen to you when you want to do a God-sized dream. And the fourth question you got to ask is this. If you don't do it, do you feel like you're disobeying Him? If you don't move out of faith and action, do you feel like you're disobeying Him? Can I tell you something? I am more scared in my life than I've ever been. And it's not because of me. It's because of my children. It's because of my wife. We have to raise $103,000 to launch this church in September. And I actually need the funds in just a couple of months to be able to do it. And I remember so many sleepless nights saying, oh, God, it's got to be you because we cannot do this. And I can tell you, in 1 month, we're already at $67,000. That's God. And we got to build a team of 50 people. And I'm going to a community that I don't know that well. And I don't know 50 people that even live in that community. So I have these sleepless nights even coming now, and I'm just being real transparent, guys. I don't think I'm anybody great. I'm scared to death. But if I don't do this, I am more scared to disobey God. And God, when He puts dreams in your hearts, that's exactly what you got to do. Look for His approval because you need Him. You're dependent on Him for that to happen. It says in Acts 2:17, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. And we're about to show you a video right now. And I want to encourage you, dream again. Have purpose with this life that God has given you. Check out this video. everyone stand with me? You see, I believe with all my heart that God is wanting to give us dreams. God is wanting to give us visions. God's wanting to give us purpose in life. And it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your background. God knew you before you were even born. And He wants your life to be in full benefit of having purpose and meaning and motivation, simplifying and focusing what you do. It doesn't matter what you even think about yourself. It's what God thinks of you. And I came this morning because I believe God wants to give you dreams. And I was praying specifically when I was putting this message together. God burst some dreams in some people this morning. But the Lord wants to speak this to you. There's people here with broken dreams. There's people here who have gone through a divorce. Some people who have tried to start a business and it's failed. Some people who are here and you've been abused in your past. And you can't see how God can use you greatly. I believe there's others here. Maybe you had a kid when you weren't supposed to. Maybe you didn't get accepted to a certain college, so you took a whole different course in life. Can I tell you something? No matter if you had a dream and it's not what you thought it would be, God wants to either restore it or He wants to birth something fresh and new inside of you. So this is what I'm going to ask you to do. Close your eyes for me, everybody in this room. I just want to ask you to do something. Many of us have landed in this place called the doldrums. It's that stagnant, lifeless place, and when you land there, there's no hope. There's no joy, and you feel desperate. You get depressed, and you hate even waking up in the mornings because you don't even know why you're waking up to do the same thing over and over again because there's no meaning behind it. I believe with all my heart that God wants to breathe His Holy Spirit into our lives to let the wind of His Spirit, as we put up our sails, give us action and meaning behind this life that we were given. So this is what I'm going to ask you to do with everybody's eyes closed and your head bowed, because I don't want anybody to look around. If you're here and you're in a place where you just need God to breathe on you, you may be a visitor, and this is not to make you to feel uncomfortable, but you just need something fresh. You need a fresh breath of God in your life. I just want you to raise both hands. I want you to raise them both up high and make them like sails where God can just breathe on you and begin to let His Holy Spirit work on you. It doesn't matter. Everybody's eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. You're here and you need purpose and you need meaning. You want God's very best for you. Raise those hands up high. And I just want to pray a blessing over you right now. Father, you know everyone. Everyone in this room. God, you knew them before they were born. And I believe, God, you know exactly where they are. God, you know the marriages that are struggling. God, you know those who are struggling because they can't handle their kids or their grandkids. They're so worried. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, breathe on us. Breathe on us, God. It's nothing we can do. It's nothing we can earn. It's only by your grace, God, that can get us out of this lifeless, stagnant place, Lord. God, breathe on this church. And God, I pray, Lord, that you begin to birth those dreams again. God, give them energy. Give them passion, God. And even though, God, as they keep their eyes fixed on your word, God, let them endure the pain and the suffering because it's worth it. In Jesus' name, keep your head bound, your eyes closed. I'm going to ask one last question, and then I'm going to hand it back over to Pastor Dave. If you're here this morning, and you don't know Jesus, you sense even in the worship there's something a little bit different about this place. You see the people around you. This is what happened to me 19 years ago. And something was stirring inside of me, and you want meaning behind your life. Let me tell you, it only comes through knowing Jesus Christ. And I can tell you that God has a plan for your life as well, but it starts with surrendering it to Him. If that's you this morning, you're either far from God or you've never seen God's grace before. Nobody's looking. You know that's you. I want you to raise the hand up. That's me. I just need God. I just need Jesus. I need the promise of Jesus Christ to change my life. Keep your hand up, please. There's several. I believe God wants to change your entire future from this moment on. Pastor Dave.